When the guard was gone, Willie clambered over the spikes, cutting his chest, his knees and his legs, so that the blood now ran very freely, and jumped 15 feet down to the roof of the nearest building outside the prison. No one heard the sound of his landing, for the area was deserted. Everybody was attending the execution. From that roof, he jumped to another, and then another, leaping 6 and 8 foot gaps without hesitation. Once or twice he lost his grip on the shingles and slates of the roofs, but he always recovered. He had, after all, spent much of his life on rooftops. Finally, less than half an hour from the time he began to inch his way up the prison wall, he slipped through a gabled window at the back of Mrs. Malloy's lodging house, padded down the hallway, and entered the room rented at considerable expense by Mr. Pierce and his party. Edgar recalled that Willie presented a ghastly aspect, most fearsome, and he added that he was bleeding like a stuck saint, although this blasphemous reference was expunged from the courtroom records. Pierce directed the swift treatment of the man, who was barely conscious. He was revived with the vapours of ammonium chloride from a cut glass inhaler. His clothes were stripped off by the women, who pretended no modesty, but worked quickly. His many wounds were staunched with styptic powder and sticking plaster, then bound with surgical bandages. Edgar gave him a sip of cocoa wine for energy, and Burroughs and Welcome beef and iron wine for sustenance. He was forced to down 2 Carter's little nerve pills and some tincture of opium for his pain. This combined treatment brought the man to his senses and enabled the women to clean his face, douse his body with rose water, and bundle him into the waiting dress. When he was dressed, he was given a sip of bromocaffeine for further energy and told to act faint. A bonnet was placed over his head and boots laced on his feet. His bloody prison garb was stuffed in the picnic basket. No one among the crowd of more than 20,000 paid the slightest attention when the well-dressed party of hangers-on departed Mrs. Malloy's boarding house, with one woman of their party so faint that she had to be carried by the men who hustled her into a waiting cab and rattled off into the morning light. A faint woman was a common enough sight, and in any case, nothing to compare to a woman turning slowly at the end of the rope, back and forth, back and forth.